Cover-ups. All of us have had to face blemishes at one time or another. Whether in our teenage years or even later in life, we look in the mirror, see a red spot, and grab some lotion or potion to cover it up. None of us want others to see our blemishes. The global makeup industry earns a fortune in revenue, taking in $511 billion in 2021, and this is predicted to reach $716 billion by 2025. Clearly, people are willing to part with their money to cover up their flaws in the hopes of making themselves look beautiful in the eyes of others. And this actually increased during the pandemic as others were spending more time and money on skincare and their products. In fact, perception is a big part of this industry, as a 2016 study discovered, revealing that both men and women found faces wearing makeup is more attractive, with men seeing such faces as having high prestige and women rating them higher in dominance. To compound this, women viewed other women wearing makeup as competition and were jealous because they thought men were more attracted to them. What is equally disconcerting is that this study also revealed that women who wear makeup actually earn up to 20% more than women who don't. This unexpected consequence may be why women spend almost $4,000 a year on beauty products, which totals to more than 25% of their monthly spending going toward products for their face alone. Nor are men left out of this spending frenzy, with them now spending up to 21% of their monthly earnings on such products. The reality for most is that makeup, particularly for women, is a confidence booster. They feel more self-assured and in control if they feel more attractive. Yet one psychiatrist contends that when we put on makeup, we are sending a message to our subconscious that we're flawed and that those flaws must be covered up or concealed. This suggests that we really aren't happy with who we are and desire to be, at least on the outside, what others will see. Certainly, we want the outside world to see someone fresh and new and flawless. But we all know that that's not who we really are. And nowhere is this more true than for Christians. But they can't just cover up their flaws with makeup, nor simply a happy smile. Aaron Badenhop, one of the leaders of a college group called Real Life, says there's three things that Christians try to hide, naming them as doubt, sin, and fear. Facing tough times, Christians can sometimes doubt that God is interested or even able to help our broken world. Others, beset with temptation, shudder to think of anyone knowing what they're doing outside of church with friends or watching on the computer screen. Still, others are overwhelmed with uncertainty about their future and fearful that their current situations will worsen or never improve. These Christians try to cover up their anxieties, uncertainties, or failures with church attendance, raised hands, or full smiles, while inside they're caving under the pressures their hidden lifestyle or choices present. Josh Weidman, senior pastor of Grace Chapel, identifies the similarities we share with Adam and Eve. When caught, we hide from God, foolishly covering our nakedness with a fig leaf, thinking that will cover up our sins. As Adam remarks, "I heard you walking in the garden, God, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." God seeks us out, hoping we will be open and transparent, honest, and willing to lay before him our sins and failures so he can wash us clean again or restore us to fellowship with him. Do you remember how Jesus sought out Peter after his vehement betrayal at the fireside? On the beach, after following a tasty breakfast of bread and fish, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Jesus wasn't asking if Peter loved him more than the food he'd eaten or the friends around him. Rather, he was asking, "Do you love me more than yourself?" Peter had boasted on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, "Even if everyone deserts you, I will never desert you. Even if I have to die for you, I will never deny you." He thought he could do it on his own, that no matter what temptation or persecution he faced, he'd stay true to the Lord. But Jesus knew he couldn't do it on his own, nor can we, which is why Jesus invited Peter to recommit himself to the Lord and then recommissioned him to service. This is an offer Jesus extends to all of us who fall short of the glory of God. But sadly, some refuse such generous grace and continue to hide themselves from God and others. Weidman says that there's three things we do to try to cover up our wrong choices. The first, he says, is we shut out contact with others. Simply put, we don't answer our phones, we avoid communication and participation in regular church activities. After all, someone might see us for who we are and call us to account. The second thing Christians may try to do to cover up is to avoid close friends who know us, those who might invite us to Bible study or ask why we haven't been to home group lately. They may try to seek us out and find out what's going on in our lives and why we're absent from meaningful areas of worship. The third method is to pretend that everything's okay. Sing loud, wave our hands, be bright in our corner so no one can see the darkness in our lives. Still others, I want to suggest, leave their old church and start attending a new one, one where no one knows who they are or imagines what they've done. In this new church, there's no expectations, no responsibilities. We can blame the old church, the other pastor or people for leaving, rather than addressing our shame and faults. We can hide what we've done because no one knows where to look. Do any of these methods really work? Hardly. After all, we carry ourselves with us wherever we go, and God sees into the deepest recesses of our hearts. And as David said, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. And God also gives discernment to his people, helping them to be aware when a brother or sister is struggling with sin. Peter understood the challenges of faith, and although he wrote to his congregation about being born again and of having a priceless inheritance and God's protection, he still cautioned, "So get rid of all evil behavior, be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech." The Apostle John also understood this, appealing from his island exile. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. John recognizes that we'll likely sin, but tells us don't cover it up, don't pretend we haven't. Rather, acknowledge, confess, and repent so restoration can come. And then we'll know that God loves us and we'll live in that love. Moreover, we won't be afraid on the day of judgment, he says, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world. He goes on to explain that with such love, there's no fear. No fear of being found out. No fear of being caught. No fear of punishment. We can also actively be in fellowship once more because we're not ashamed of ourselves, our thoughts, or behaviors. And we can love others openly, honestly, without fear or disgrace or embarrassment. So what do we do now? Well, it begins by looking into our hearts and seeing if there's any hidden, shameful thing lurking in there. As Paul instructs, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And then because our mind is a battlefield, we have to renew our minds, letting God transform us into a person, a new person, by changing the way we think. If we succumb to those sinful thoughts, then we need to acknowledge our Heavenly Father. And that makes it clear it's not honorable for a Christian to do. We have to acknowledge him and not embrace our sin. We know what that is, for the Holy Spirit convicts us, and even from the very time we first thought about it. But you'll also have to actively turn from it, abandoning it completely and returning to God with a full heart. And he's going to be there with open arms. And if we see someone else in sin or are made aware of what they're doing, we're instructed to pray for them, gently counsel them, invite them, and urge them back to God. For we are to show mercy to those whose faith is wavering, rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment, show mercy to still others, but do so with caution, hating the sin that contaminates their lives, For it's only God who's able to keep us from falling, bringing us with great joy into his glorious presence, without a single fault. So thus, beloved, let's not cover up our blemishes, but ask the Holy Spirit to cleanse us from hidden faults and live holy, transparent lives for his glory. Amen.